Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit Lynda.com/AllAboutAndroid. That's LYNDA.com/AllAboutAndroid. And by BullandBranch.com, the most comfortable sheets on the planet. You order right now, they'll give you 20% off your entire order, plus free shipping. Just go to BOLLANDBRANCH. That's BullandBranch.com. And use the offer code AAA. Hello, welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 245, recorded on Tuesday, December 22nd, 2015, where your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Florence Ion.
We have a deficit.
I forgot. I was like, run! My heart is empty.
But you jumped right in there. You got it. Yeah. You filled the space.
I just was hoping maybe he'd like pop out of somewhere.
No. Ron doesn't do that. When he's out, he's like out. He's like, see you,
peeps. Bummer.
Yep, so Ron is not here, but in true All About Android fashion, we've replaced a Ron with a double A Ron.
Double A Ron.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Newcomb.
Yes, always first in the Yellow Pages, in the Ron Yellow Pages, the Ron section. So, yeah, that's kind of like tradition.
It really is.
3 years in a row, I think.
So is this the third last episode of the year for All About Android for you?
Yeah.
You're always here on the retrospective.
I don't know what it is. I guess, you know, you like... Old,
you're available.
Back.
No, actually.
Yeah, I'm available. Yeah, sure. I'll come over.
Sure. Uh-oh. Oh, Aaron, I'll do it.
Yeah.
No,
I like coming
it's always
over
awesome
to
have
this.
You
this
on
is great.
At the end of the year. And yeah, what you working on these days? What's been keeping you busy?
I say that just because I'm so busy. I was telling you before, I've been kind of just so pulling my hair out. You know, so work is busy, obviously. That's always busy. And then kids are busy. You know about that, right?
I know that.
Kids keep you busy. And then Benicia Makerspace keeps me busy as well, which is the makerspace I started in Benicia, my hometown. If you're in the area, come on out and stop by and say hi. We're always doing fun projects. And we have open houses every other week. Just come on by. It's just a time for people to come in and do stuff. We just got done making ornaments for Christmas, which is a perfect maker project. There's all kinds of cool stuff you can make.
What kind of ornaments?
That one was, well, you can see there, I made an owl.
Oh, my gosh. That's just adorable.
It's just pine cone and some felt and some hot glue.
That's such a good idea for pine cones.
You'd be surprised at some of the things. So here's the cool part, right? I mean, we printed out, like, these little how-to guides for all these different ornaments, brought the supplies. That's basically all we did. But then the kids would take them and do their own thing, right? They were getting creative.
Right.
So we had little popsicle sticks. Santas that you could do, but they were like taking the popsicle sticks and making like robots and all this cool stuff, and so it was fun. And then we were also able to 3D print some ornaments, some little snowflake ornaments for people to take home, put on the tree, which is kind of unique for most people. They they don't have a 3D printer, so yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I guess but the point of having a space where you do this is it's almost like if you're at home with a pine cone and you know a couple of sticks or twigs or whatever. You have to really like try to be creative with it.
Okay.
But you go ahead and you put yourself in a space filled with creativity and people kind of thinking
that's exactly
out of
it.
The zone and in different ways and everything. Yes. Suddenly it inspires that creativity.
Yes. And without fail, all of our members say the same thing, which is you go to a makerspace and it's cool to use the tools, right? Yeah. I mean, because we've got CNC machines, we've got welders, you know, dangerous stuff. And that's fun. That's fun.
That sounds fun.
It is.
All these kids come in. Look, guys.
Whenever there's a risk of losing your fingers, it just adds an element of fun and excitement. But it's not that. Well, all of our members say it's the same. It's the collaboration that happens, right?
Yeah.
I come in and I'm like, oh, I'm working on this LED cube, but I don't know much about it. And then someone says, hey, I put one of those together last week.
It really helps be around other people and like learn from them.
It does.
Plus, like, I like crafting, but I have no space to keep things. So when I want to be creative, I'm like, crap, I have to buy a bunch of supplies now to make like this one little thing.
Yep.
So I think it's awesome.
Yeah. So that keeps me really busy.
I'm sure.
For sure. Yep.
Well, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show, Aaron. We are going to do what we do the last episode of every year. This is the last live episode, not the last episode, actually. Next week, we have a best of 2015, all of the moments that sorry, Brian. All the moments that I've pulled and that Brian is going to edit together at some point. I believe the running count is around 107 clips at this point.
Yeah.
I feel awful about that.
But I found a couple other ones, too. So let's just bump it up to 110 clips.
I think we can.
Just go crazy.
I think there were some moments last week, and maybe we can find one from this week.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we can add a little bit more difficulty to you.
Yeah.
I hope you guys have a night for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, totally. I got him this little, this little LED Christmas tree.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah,
thank you. Just for Brian.
Thanks for helping.
Well, I got you this little Android Santa that I made.
That guy's so cute.
I'm not gonna really give that to him, by the way.
Here, I'll go ahead and show it. This should be showing on the little product.
Absolutely, that's awesome.
So you painted this.
You didn't take that to a makerspace and make that, did you?
No, I made it at home with my Martha Stewart paints.
Look at that little mustache.
I copied the Android Santa wallpaper that I found. Like, it was like a fan-made wallpaper, and it was just perfect.
That's really good.
But, that's the trick.
You know, there's his little butt, and his...
His little butt.
Just showing his butt. I don't know.
I'm rotating. very cool. And then what do you... So you're always doing the maker stuff. What do we have here?
Yeah,
that
so
that's neat.
That is a Christmas tree. On a Raspberry Pi.
Raspberry Pi
Christmas tree. I got that on Kickstarter last year. Some guy, you know, made the board and put some Python code together to make it go. And I thought it was pretty cool, so I ordered a couple of them. That's our Christmas tree in the makerspace, too. Someone came in the other day. Don't you guys have a Christmas tree in here? It's like, yeah, here it is right here.
That's tiny little thing. Go ahead and put
it's already decorated and everything.
See if you can fit a present under there.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. All right, I got distracted by all the cool things you guys created. So best of 2015 next week. This is the episode where we kind of take a look back on the year and kind of the stories, the themes, the hardware, some of the apps, and just kind of talk about them free form. What did we like? What didn't we like? All that kind of stuff. That's what we're going to do today. Might as well give you a chance to go ahead and throw in a little Android news bumper. Go.
Better think of something. It's the end of 2015, and the next time you hear this voice, it'll be in the future. It's time for Android news.
Yes, very good. You've done a very good job this whole year. That's why half of the clips are you, Brian.
You've done an amazing job this year, Brian. Don't let me say it was just a good job. It was an amazing job. I want you to know that.
Thank you, Flo. I appreciate that. And half of the best of will be just Android news.
Yay! Oh, wait. Yay!
All right, so 2015. What are the things that really stood out for you guys? I mean, aside from the big obvious one, which is
all the work. New version. I mean, what?
Oh yes, right. Well, you've been very busy. I think we've all been kind of busy this year.
Yes, we have.
We need a vacation.
Marshmallow. I think that's probably at the top of the list. I think every year, probably at the top of the list is the new version of Android.
I feel like this year it's not because of the reason Lollipop was big, because last year Lollipop was big because it was a new interface. It was a completely new like design paradigm. It was a new face of Android. This year it was Google sort of saying, hey guys, let's try this little transparency thing and see how it goes. Let's give you some more permissions, more hooking inside the system. Let's see if you what you guys where you want to take it from here.
Mm-hmm.
So what I sort of felt like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Really, you know, and a lot of people said this about Marshmallow. It's not quite as drastic of a change just by looking at it in the way that Lollipop was, like you were saying. But there was a lot under the hood and a lot of refinement. And I don't know. I think the kind of new dedication on Google's part to battery, conserving your battery,
yeah,
I think that's
huge.
A really, really big part of the reason why I like Marshmallow as much as I do.
Yeah, I posted on Google Plus the other day. I mean, usually I can go for a whole day on Lollipop with my Nexus 6.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone says, oh, really? I think it's a mixed bag if you get good battery. I get good battery life. But then I was going for like almost 2 days on Marshmallow at one point without charging since my last charge.
With the Nexus 6.
I'm still using because I still love it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I don't know if this is in here anywhere.
Super
inexpensive now. $250, I think I saw on Amazon.
Yeah.
That's a great phone, and it looks big because I've got this huge bulky case. on it that's like twice as big as the phone. But it is a really good phone if you can hang on to it, right, Jason?
Make no mistake, it is a big phone even without the case on it.
It is.
the case makes it even bigger.
The case makes it thicker.
Yeah.
But it's a really nice phone, and I would highly recommend. What was that?
That was the screen breaking. Whenever we talk about Jason's Nexus 6.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You caught my joke.
I think that was my first show, by the way, this year.
Was it
right when you broke your Nexus 6.
Oh, that hurt. Yes. Yeah. It probably was, actually, because it was towards the beginning of the year. Right?
Yeah,
I think we brought you on right after the new year.
It's been a really long year. I was thinking about it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, when was it?
Oh,
so we don't have to give out that PSA anymore, probably. But it is slippery. It's slippery without a case.
Yeah.
Slippery when not even wet.
Yes,
but
don't get it wet because it probably wouldn't be very good for that phone.
Yes, no, but anyway, what do we got off track? Battery life. Yeah, I would agree on the battery life for Marshmallow. I think that was huge, and having Google focus on that, it's such a huge pain point for people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
having to charge their phone all the time. It seems like you always have to leave it plugged in. I think that was, they needed to address it, and I think they did with Marshmallow. At least they did for me. My experience says they did.
Yeah, it's always interesting when you're talking about this kind of stuff because you still read the posts that are like, I updated to the new thing, and wow, you know, my battery life went through the floor, and this is a horrible update, and I want to revert and everything. But that has not been my experience with Marshmallow. Yeah. I guess your mileage always varies depending on which device you happen to be on, and what other things you have installed, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I just last night decided, you know what? I'm going to live life without the Facebook app now. And I'm going to put a shortcut to the Facebook mobile site,
by the way,
and just use that.
Do you feel saner, too?
I don't know yet. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I'm not doing it.
We could just delve into a whole conversation about how dangerous Facebook is. But anyway,
I'm not doing it because Facebook appears to be like, killing my battery, because I actually don't know. My battery's been pretty decent.
Really? Because
but I have to imagine it's going to be better without it.
Messenger was quite a battery memory hog. I mean, when it first came out, I was so annoyed with it, and I just immediately got... And I actually got rid of Facebook for the same reason, too. It was just a huge battery data hog.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So,
which is
Within Chrome, you now have notification capabilities, and Facebook uses
that's
that.
True.
So if you're just using the mobile site, you turn on notifications, and I get notification updates, you know, just like I did when I had the app installed.
Right.
So we'll see. Time will tell if that actually makes a difference. I mean, right now, I'm at 44. I mean, it's hard to say if that's good
for me.
That's
actually pretty good for this time of day.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
My Galaxy S6 would typically be at like 15% maybe
by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Aaron, with Marshmallow on your Nexus 6, do you feel like it's helped exponentially? Because I didn't have very good experience with the Nexus 6 earlier this year when it was on Lollipop.
That's what people have told me. I've always gotten fairly good battery life. And then with Marshmallow, it's a noticeable difference. So like I said, at one point, if you go through my Google Plus post, you'll find it. At one point, I was getting you could see. I was, you know, it shows you the projected end of your battery life. And it was, you know, like midnight or something. And I looked down and it's like, oh, yeah, your battery's going to go dead like tomorrow at 3 p.m. I was like, what? And I had been using it, not extensively, but I had been listening to music with the screen off.
Yeah.
You know, and it had been giving me notifications all day, checking my email all day long, all that stuff that drains a battery. And I was like, I was really impressed. So, again, your mileage may vary. Yeah. Not everyone's going to experience that, I've been really happy with it.
Usage patterns and all that. Another thing that actually I'm reminded of in the chat is the permissions improvements on Marshmallow, which I love. I'm such a fan of it. I always thought that's the way it should have been done, because there was always just so much confusion around permissions and the wall of permissions that you had to just blanket accept.
I agree. It's great for stock Android, but I want to see how it's going to be implemented next year with all the new flagships coming out. Like, that's what I'm really looking forward to, is how Samsung's going to implement all this, how LG is going to do it, because those are the majority of the people right now are still buying phones from those guys.
Sure.
And we got to teach them. We got to teach them about all this stuff about Android. I mean, seriously, people, like, they switch to Android and they don't realize that you can do all this stuff. And then, you know, in my experience, when people have switched over, they get a little flustered at first because it's so different. But once they figure out you can do all this great stuff with it, it's like the doors have opened to a whole new world.
The angels sing.
So,
hark, the herald angels
sing.
I believe this was on your list, was Android Wear.
Yeah, I think Android Wear was just got so much better this year. So many great software updates, including even including something as small as just emoji on your watch, on your wrist, to be able to
That's something I never use.
Well, it's fun. It's just like, you know, somebody sends you a text message like, on my way, and then you're just like, kissy face, you know. See you soon. Like, it's nice. It's great. And also all the choices that we got this year.
Yeah.
This was the year
good hardware choice.
This was a good year for women in Android Wear. I'm just going to say it was a good year to be a woman and wear Android Wear.
Because you got at least some options.
Exactly. You got options.
Last year there really were none.
Absolutely. And I love that. And I also love that Android Wear is turning into such a fashion accessory, because I think that Google's really trying to modernize itself. Mm-hmm. And this is completely, by the way, off my own ideas, but I really feel like with the commercials I've seen lately, Google's really trying to modernize. And I think one of those ways to modernize is to sort of become a like iconic fashion brand, because I think that's what worked really well for Apple all this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Grant, whether or not we agree about whether Apple is fashionable or anything like
they've
definitely, I mean, they're advertising in magazines like Vogue and Bazaar, and I would love to see Google sort of getting to that point.
Right.
You know,
I think it's been a very successful kind of direction for Apple to not only focus on the technology, but kind of the fashion aspect. And yeah, you're right. People, there's like this knee-jerk reaction to be like, yeah, it's not a fashion accessory, but it is. It's in
it
your
is.
Hands all the time.
It
it's
is.
On your wrist all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, these are things that you got to be okay with what you've got there.
Yeah.
Just, you know, in order to be, like even, feel comfortable using it.
Yeah, even if I have like a chip in my brain 20 years from now, I want it to have glitter on it. You know, like, give me a choice to have some glitter on it. That's
the choice.
The glitter edition. Yeah.
Exactly.
I was kind of going through some of the previous, just basically sheet by sheet of all of our show notes for the past year. And some things that jumped out at me as kind of themes throughout the year. This was the year that Glass Explorer program was kind of like,
meh.
Sayonara, see you tomorrow, maybe.
Speaking of
fashion
things that just,
you
know, fizzled into nothingness.
Well, we're going to see more from Glass, right?
Yeah,
so that was the thing, right? I mean, when that first happened, when that announcement came out, everyone was like, oh, it's over. And then they're like, no, it's not really over, right? It's kind of like, you know, we're moving that technology under the covers, under the Nest team, or whatever they're calling it now.
Mm-hmm.
And, it may resurface or it may develop into something else. And so, yeah, I was kind of bummed when the announcement first came out. And I was like, really? Come on. That's so cool. But I'm glad. And I keep bringing this up every time. You see the fruits of all of their labor with Glass. You know, every time you look at your watch, if you're running Android Wear.
No, you're very right.
I mean, all of those technological achievements that they made for Glass have been pretty much put into the phone and put into the new devices. So it wasn't a waste.
Sure.
And it is kind of sad to see it go, but I think it'll especially with home automation as they try to, you know, get into that market. Mm-hmm. I think all of that stuff, you're going to see it even more and more. Come back
with Brillo and all those new things that we sort of heard at I/O, and then I think we're going to hear more probably in the next couple of months.
I'm sure we will.
Something.
I came this close to getting the Nest and the thermostat and
the security camera.
Not the security camera, the fire detector, smoke detector.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I came this close to getting. There was a bundle. It was either Cyber Monday or Black Friday or something. And I was like, I want to get it. And I was like, no, I'm going to hold back, wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because it is a little expensive, but it's like, oh, I like those devices in my house. I love smart devices.
You'd have to also get the Honor
and
so that it could talk to your Internet of Things throughout
your
house.
I almost pulled the trigger on that last week because I was having trouble. Yes, I was having trouble with my router. And I thought, you know what? Let me just check out these OnHub devices. And I was like, oh, they're so pretty. You know, they really are. And that's, again, to your point, right? And if you look at the OnHub device, either the Asus or the TP-Link version, you know, they're different cone shape. One goes up, one goes down, but they look really, really nice. And I think Google is finally starting to focus on this year in a big way on aesthetics.
Yes.
Making things look at least somewhat pleasing to the
eye. But to your point earlier, I think Glass was really a part of that because remember Glass sort of like caught on with some fashion designers and I have a feeling there was some like, you know, mumbling
caught
inside.
On or
yeah,
caught
like
on.
People were just sort of like, you know,
I'm not sure
talking.
If that was by design
no.
What that was. But
what I mean to say is that I think it's all interconnected and I think that's just, it speaks to the way it's so great to see Google live out every iteration, so to speak, just live out the ideas that they have and how it's growing, because it's so, it's kind of fun growing with a company. Like, if you're a fan of it, you know?
Yeah, and seeing where they're at from a design perspective, that's a big deal. That's been a big deal this year from a hardware perspective on Google's side with a lot of their actual, you know, like the Pixel C, love it or hate it, is designed really well. And it's a really nice, tight package. Software-wise, material design, of course, this was introduced last year with Lollipop.
Yeah, but now
this
it's
was the
even
year
better.
That material design, like, really, because you know, we saw so much proliferation.
Yeah, it was adopted in a big way. Yeah. You know.
I just get very excited now that we're like talking about the year, by the way. I'm just slightly, like, slightly fangirling
more.
A little bit.
How about Project Phi? Was that a big deal? This was
it was not a big deal for me because I'm still with Big Red. I'm still in my Big Red shirt.
And I, leading up to Project Phi, before Project Phi had a name that we all knew it by, and it was all rumors, which, by the way, was like two solid months of rumors leading up to it. That whole time I was like, sign me up. I'm in. Sign me up. And then it came out. And if I had had immediate access to it, I probably would have signed up for it. But because I ended up waiting a couple of weeks before getting an invite, I was able to kind of, I guess, talk myself out of it. And now I don't know if it's necessarily the one that I want, even though it's from Google. And that was the reason why I wanted it. It's like, I'm all in on Android. Right. Excellent. Give me your phone service and your data service. But still, I just don't know if it beats my $30 a month T-Mobile plan, which is totally fine for me.
That's something. So my work pays for my phone bill because I use it mostly for work. But that's something that I would have considered for my family, the rest of my family, right? But then when it came out, I would have had to get them all Nexus 6s, right?
Right.
When it first came out.
Yes, when it first came out,
it was only Nexus 6. I'm like, well, I'm not going to buy Nexus 6s for all the kids, you know? I mean, I love them, but come on.
their hands are smaller than the phone.
Yes, exactly.
That's
they wouldn't
like
be able to use it.
Hazard to their health. To
But I mean, I think that maybe the next iteration, right? So that when we're ready to look at a new plan again, or maybe we get sick of T-Mobile or something. Next time that'll be something we'll look at.
It's a good point you made, though. I didn't even think Project Phi would be really good for parents.
Yeah,
want to monitor their kids' smartphone usage.
Sure,
get them a cute little Nexus 5X with a little mint backing, you know, and then monitor like how much data they're using and sort of like, you know, how much they're talking on the phone.
Yeah,
or give them a data only device.
Yeah, well...
Although, wait a minute, maybe that's
no,
not...
No, I'd want, like, my kid to be able to call me and be like, hey, Mom, I need...
Yeah, go ahead and hit me up on Hangouts. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mom, hit me up on Hangouts.
When you're around Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
No.
Can you take me to Starbucks? I need to call my mom.
Mobile payments? It's kind of Android Pay, obviously, that was unveiled at I.O.
For me personally, this was a big year for mobile payments. This is the year that I actually started using them.
Yeah, and do you use them regularly now?
Well, I was using them regularly at CVS, but CVS is...
Right.
I know. What up, CVS?
CVS. I'm very not happy with you. I just want you to know, CVS.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they watch.
Yeah. Totally. Well, I tweet them every so often.
At least one or two workers from...
I will say, CVS though, I mean, there's a CVS... close by, and I don't go there as much anymore because they stopped taking it. They were taking Wallet for a while.
Rite Aid takes it.
They stop. Oh, they do?
They do.
Ooh, and they have ice cream.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's true. I forgot.
Well,
about
you get
that.
Excited when you think like, oh, I want to pay with things. Like, if I'm on my way over here and I'm hungry, I'll go to Jamba Juice because I know that they have an NFC, so I could just walk in there with my phone and she'd be like, boop, real quick, get my smoothie, run over here.
You also used and tested out Samsung Pay.
I did.
So and it wasn't just a big year for Android Pay, let's say.
No, it was a huge year for,
Apple Pay.
First, Samsung bought Loop Pay, I think in February. And then it came to the Galaxy S6 and to the other flagship devices that came out this year. And I used it, and it was really awkward.
Really awkward.
It was very awkward because it's awkward to... So many people know Apple Pay, and Apple Pay is NFC. And so with Android Pay, it's very easy because they just get it. But the concept that this phone has a magnetic strip in it that just, like, works with
whether you
anything,
have the ability. Yeah, exactly.
And not every point of sale terminal is the same.
Right.
So you have to hold it in a different way near it. And they've just finally started putting commercials out about it, which... I feel like they should have done it maybe I wonder if there's like a marketing thing where you should have done, you know, maybe you should tell people about it beforehand. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like whenever I ask to use it, people will just be like, okay, I'm not going to take your phone to behind the counter to use some magnet you're telling me does or doesn't exist and then hold the phone a certain way. But it's nice to have the double option, Samsung phone. So it's very nice. Yeah. But I don't miss it with just the Nexus 6P. But I do use it when I use the GS6. So.
What about Walmart and Target Pay? Sorry, I had to throw that in there. These were just announced the past week or two.
I was just going to say, I hadn't even heard about this yet, so I feel bad. I was like, is this, like, did I, like, totally blow it on this one? How did I miss this news?
Remember that time Target had that big security breach? Yeah.
There's that.
Let's,
Target's not alone as far as that's concerned.
If everybody is getting into the game, I mean, this just must be huge revenue potential here.
There is, but talk about splitting off the
superhero TV show,
right?
Like, you can't just make another superhero TV show, just like you can't just make another mobile payment. Yeah. This is too much.
Or
such
can
thing
you?
Is too many.
I think they are, and they will. Google Now app integration in particular, this year we kind of saw that, and I think that's pretty cool. I actually see that more and more. Check my Google Now feed and something will appear there. It's like, is this useful
can't
to
live
you?
Without it'll Google
be,
Now
it'll be like, I just got one, a product that I had searched a couple of weeks ago, and I guess it dropped in price by like $100. Mm-hmm. So I got a Google Now thing like,
yep,
you researched this, and now it's $100 less. Would you like, you know, is this useful to you? Do you want to buy it? Still didn't get it, but it's there.
Yes.
That's handy.
Yeah.
And just the integration of apps.
Yes.
You know, looping into Google Now, I think.
I don't know if it's a Google Now feature, but I do like, in Gmail, it'll also, you know, scan your email and say, oh, we've set up an appointment for you. But it'll come up in Google Now on my phone. And it'll say, oh, you know, well, we've noticed that you were talking to Jason and you're going to be on All About Android. You know, do you want to set up an appointment? We've already got it right here. Just hit the button. And it's like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. Thanks. So I do like that. I do like the app integration. I think it's really good. It's better than I thought it was going to be, put it that way. I was a little bit worried about the app integration.
You didn't know if it was going to be out of control and render Google Now noisy and useless.
Right, exactly.
Although I do find Google Now a little more noisy now.
It is a little
it has
more.
Been, and that's just because more things are offering to it. I don't know whether that's a good or a bad thing. I also don't know if my usage of Google Now has necessarily gone up. I almost feel like it's gone down in some ways. But I don't know if that's related to anything. Who was it in chat? Someone just said, that sounds pretty creepy. Was this a year for creepiness when it comes to Google services? Or is it just kind of the norm, the way that it is? Yeah.
Which I feel is terrible. I think it was Edward Snowden who said, we shouldn't just feel complicit that we just give all our data and information away or something like that. But whatever.
But you feel complicit.
I feel like, I mean.
Edward told you not to do that.
He did.
Right.
King Snowden did say not to do that.
I think it's creepy. It's not as creepy to me, but I feel like the general public maybe sees it as more
a perception,
creepy. Right? Because
perception
I know how these things work. And so it's like, oh, okay, I can understand how I got from there to here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but someone else be like, oh, is Google looking through my window? How did they know? You know?
Right.
And so,
meanwhile, it's data. And
right.
It's an algorithm.
Right. Exactly. And people don't realize that
patterns.
Well, that's the thing. People don't realize that it's mostly anonymous data, right? It's storing it anonymously in most cases. It's not storing your personal information with it. It's just that you happen to have this little hash associated with this. And then when that hash comes up.
It's still creepy, though, sometimes.
Right.
And you're just like.
Because when it's right, that's when you're like,
every
you
time
got that
I drive by a Starbucks now, Android Pay pops up and it's like, you could use your gift card here. And
I get that too.
I'm just on the freeway. I'm not going to go get Starbucks right now. Thanks, though. Not. But it's helpful, though. That's what makes the operating system better than iOS.
That's
right. Is all that contextual stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a lot of contextual stuff. Speaking of context, Now on Tap, Google Now's kind of recent edition, which
still
is where you can snap the page and it gives you information related to the page.
It's still kind of wonky, though.
Yeah.
It's definitely
never remember to use it. That's my problem.
That's the other thing. What is like, I have some free time. I'm going to press down on my little key and bring up Google Now on tap.
That isn't to say that it's bad.
No.
That I forget to use it because it's bad. I just forget to use it.
Yeah.
And there, as a result, it ends up being a feature that is completely lost on me, it seems. Even though
I
it could be very useful, I just don't find myself in situations where I need to, like, capture the screen in order to get more context.
And you typically probably are in a hurry when you're doing something.
Yeah.
And, like, the last thing you want to do is hold down a button to get more information. It's just
instead,
like,
you go home. Go to Google search bar, type
exactly.
in the thing, hit enter,
no,
follow
so
the
true.
Link, and get there. You know,
that's actually
take
really
the easy
true.
Way.
It's force of habit too. You know,
that's
just
no,
what
that's what it
doing.
Is. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's like
home
training
screen,
myself
Google
to do
search.
That instead, because I do that all the time. I probably could have saved myself a lot of time
that's
and
very
effort.
True.
Right.
Let's see here. Security, big theme this year.
Yeah,
I feel like
I
it always is, but this year
no,
there were
this
a couple real marquee moments.
Stage fright happened this summer, and that was scary for a lot of people.
Meanwhile, what's happened at this point? Anything really bad happen out of stage fright?
No.
Or did people just get upset for nothing?
Well, I think people had reasons to be upset because that was pretty. I mean, it was like, oh, here's an somebody will just send you an MMS and it'll just take
Fire.
Over your phone.
Right. Install some malicious software.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it didn't happen to me, but. I think the best.
I don't think it really happened to many people. That we
yeah,
know
but
of.
I think the best thing was it. Google got under so much fire because of that, and it was finally they were like, we can't keep doing this. This is really bad press for us. We need to change our policies.
And that's
and
the really good thing. To
that
come
was
out
the thing. It was the security updates. I know it's an inconvenience to get an update.
I don't care.
Every month, but if and they got Samsung and LG on board.
Yes.
It doesn't mean Android's coming any sooner, but at least I don't have to worry so much about how protected I am.
Yeah, and knowing that, oh, well, I got this update, you know, this big system-wide update, and this thing was discovered, but I'm at the end of the update cycle. It's never going to, you know, I'm never going to get next year's release of Android that fixes this, so I'm screwed. That's a huge upside, a huge plus from all of that security stuff that's happened. It was that. It was FireEye.
Get your heart out, Tim Cook.
Just Google Plus, both the new Google Plus and the de-plussing.
Yeah. I feel like
Google
that
properties.
Was a big thing for you. You had a lot to say about Google Plus.
Well, we've talked about Google Plus a lot on this show because of the integration of Google Plus into a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
This was the year where it was really de-emphasized.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, I'll even admit, I use Google Plus less, and I don't know... God, I'm using Google Now less. I'm using Google Plus less. What's going on
here? I use Google Plus less. I don't know why it is, actually. I think it's because I'm busy. But when I do get on Google Plus, I really still enjoy it. I just kind of, I guess I forget that I enjoy it. I don't know. But when I go in, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, I didn't know about that. I didn't know about that. You know, this person's making this thing. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the addition of the, maybe it's just the way that they did it, the addition of the collections that you can set up. It's, to me, I was into it when it first came out. I was like, oh, this is cool. But it's like, wait, this is like a lot more effort.
Yeah, a lot more complicated.
Yeah, like you have to really work at this to get it to work right. And so now I'm just still back to posting everything to public.
Mm-hmm.
But for a while, I was really trying to get, oh, this is my making stuff. And this is my, you need to make it easy like Pinterest, you know, to make that happen. And I don't know how they do that. But I think to make that feature really work and work the way they want it to, it just has to be really easy. Like maybe, again, maybe this is the intelligence comes in. Oh, maybe this is a suggestion comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to put this in your Maker collection? Would you like to put this in your Android collection? I don't know. I like the idea and I like the direction they're going with Google Plus. But it's changed a lot this year, certainly.
Yeah, it really has. But yeah, to your point. The wide majority of people are not using it in the same way that they are using something like Facebook or Twitter or whatever. But they're still a good, pretty active
community. Oh, well, I think it's a different type of community. I don't think it's a flailing community at all. I think it's very like bustling. It's just for a very different demographic of users.
Mm-hmm.
And I
it can
think,
be very specific.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think that's great. Google is embracing that. And they're like, let's kind of hone in on things and see what works, see what the users like. To me, I see Google Plus as an extension of a blog.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's you can expand a little bit more on your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a page. And I think the Google Plus community is better at that than doing that on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because
every social network has its own like demographic.
Well, because it's shared interests versus relationships.
Exactly.
Right? So, and Twitter's kind of somewhere in the middle there, but Yeah, Facebook is all relationships.
Mm-hmm. Twitter's the low effort.
Yeah,
that might be why I've been using Twitter more than I have been Google Plus lately. Because Google Plus, I feel like sometimes when I go to Google Plus, I can't just belt out a single sentence and post it. Like, it's got to be a thoughtful, I've focused on this for 5 or 10 minutes.
That's terrible. That's why I don't use it.
Right, right. I mean, that is probably a detractor for some people. Mm-hmm. Whereas lately, I just don't have time for that. So I go to Twitter, I put out my one little sentence thing, and then I move on. But there's a lack of engagement there that you just really get on Google+. Anyways, system-wide, Google+, definitely de-emphasized, and we'll see what that means long-term. Real quick, because we're running long on this, Alphabet, obviously, Google, Google no longer Google, Google becoming Alphabet, and the old Google still staying Google, but a smaller Google.
Very confusing.
The bigger Alphabet.
It's extremely confusing. I'm just going
to
say that.
Sorry, Google, now. I didn't mean to fire you. Don't do a search. You were talking about me. Hey, I'm here. Bye to Sundar Pichai, or rather Sundar Pichai moving upwards to Alphabet.
Yes.
And Hiroshi Lockheimer.
Thankfully, we didn't say goodbye. Yeah. I would be sitting here
sobbing.
I know,
you'd be crying.
I adore that man.
Yes.
So much.
He's a good one.
And
he's a keeper.
He's going to, as I think in his new position, he's going to do so many more awesome things. I have a lot of faith. I just really, really like him as a leader of a company. And again, I'm fangirling, but I mean that honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I like his personality. I like the way he presents himself. I like how much he cares about emerging markets and the rest of the world, and he just seems like a person with a really good head on his shoulders.
You admire his character?
I do. I admire his character. I admire his what he's... And honestly, I have never loved Android, being an Android user, as much as I have under Sundar Pichai.
Mm-hmm.
That means a lot.
Hi,
thank
Sundar.
You.
We're talking about you. Sorry.
I appreciate
Thanks
that.
For, man,
what? What's that? We can't hear you.
Oh,
what
I just said? I really appreciate all the kind words. Thank you.
Anytime and always and all the time, Sundar. And then Hiroshi, nice guy.
And Hiroshi just tweets me now, and he's like my new
he's
buddy.
Like, no big deal. No big deal. I'm just hitting up your Twitter.
I know, and I love that about him too, because he's like the new Android generation. He's like fun and on Twitter. And honestly, this is how I try to personalize every like executive, because it's like they're like Barbies to me. Like, I'm a little girl with Barbies,
need,
and it's just like
little.
You know. And I'm
like
giving them all like little
CEO,
backstories.
Action figures. And, yes.
That is a good idea.
That is actually a really good idea.
That's a really good idea. But I am really looking forward to what Hiroshi, like, I want to see him on stage at I.O. and see what he's like.
Yeah,
I'm super curious.
Very curious as well.
And I love how interactive he is on Twitter. I think it's great.
He's very in touch.
Yeah.
With kind of the community and stuff, it seems. At least it seems that way, because he's actually been in touch with us a couple of times now at this point. So it's kind of like, whoa, you're paying attention.
That's new.
And then finally, rounding this out, kind of a recurring theme throughout the year is this merging of Android and Chrome OS. Right now, we seem to have reached the pinnacle at this point, which is the Pixel C, which doesn't actually merge Android and Chrome OS, though it's thought that at one point in time it was going to, and it was intended to. Do we think that next year we're going to see that?
I hope so.
Kind of a more solid kind of combination of the two?
Either a combination or just pick one. I mean, I see them as competing platforms, and I've been in several companies where we've had this problem of competing platforms. And it just takes away from the overall – it takes away from the amount of energy you're able to put into one of them, because you're splitting your time to develop – you know, trying to develop two things. I know – I've seen a lot of reviews that say I really don't like running Android on the Pixel C. I wish it was Chrome OS. And I don't know. I get that. But, I mean, they've got so much of their thought and time behind Android. I wish they could figure out a way to merge these two things and put it to bed.
Yeah.
Soon.
I just think they can't continue to run in this divided manner. And I know they each have their own, you know, people love one, they love the other. They see them as being used in different devices in different ways. But I think they really can combine them together. And I've made this comment on Twig, I think, a couple times. Last couple times I was on, it came up, you know, oh, you can never run Android on a desktop machine. And I'm not going to say who was saying that, but it was a senior member of the hosts that was saying that. And I think you actually can run it. I've run it before. I'm working on a Pi Top right now. And it's going to run Android. And it's, so it's a refurbished laptop. It's a laptop that the motherboard went bad. I'm putting a Raspberry Pi clone in there. It's going to run Android. And at some point, I'll bring it to Twig and we'll talk about it and see how well it
but
runs.
But do you use it with a keyboard and a mouse?
You use it with a keyboard and a mouse.
See, I like that.
It works great, actually.
For me, the issue is how much, like Ron Amadio did a story this week about turning the Pixel C, the Nexus 9 into like a desktop. Mm-hmm. And for me, the issue is just how much like setup I'd have to do to use that.
Yeah, you saw his dongle setup and it's just not quite as plug and play.
I'm really curious to see when you get that up and running, what the experience is like. I would be fine using Android with a mouse and keyboard. It's just the layout, like the interface, it's just kind of weird to me. It's just not really resonating.
It doesn't have to be, though. I mean, with a few minor updates, they could make the layout better, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've already done a lot of work in this area. I don't necessarily know if it's a thing from this year, but I mean, they've done a lot of work trying to make the tablets look better, not make the tablets look like a big phone. Mm-hmm. And they've done a lot of work with Android TV, and I don't want to get into that. But they have done a lot of work, and they could do a lot more work. I don't think it would be very difficult for them to scale things automatically a little bit better for a big screen that you're running a desktop on. So I'd love to see him do it. And I used it for a week or so, and I got so used to using it, I didn't want to go back to the old way of using Windows on the desktop. I wanted to keep doing it. There were some shortcuts there that were really nice. There was applications that worked that didn't work as well.
That really seems to be the challenge. I mean, you got to dedicate yourself to it.
You do.
To the
point you have to get over the hump. You have to get over the hump.
Yeah.
And I think with a little bit of effort, they could make Android a really nice desktop OS.
Android N.
We'll probably. We'll continue to see more of that.
Yeah.
Ron obviously is not here, but he did submit a little bit for each of these categories real quick. And in this regard, he kind of echoed what we're talking about. He says, Android 6.0, no doubt about it. Marshmallow has to be the biggest thing of this year. From the battery savings, doze, to the app permissions, to the other changes, it was what everything led up to, and then was what we talked about from its announcement to its release. So it has to be in yours, and which it is. So there you go, Ron.
You need a talking Ron.
I know.
Where's the talking
Dang,
Ron?
I didn't think about that before the show.
Like I said, we should have a Ron puppet.
Yeah.
We'll work on that.
We really should
time.
Make a Ron puppet, and then I will pretend to be Ron.
It's
right.
in the works.
It'll be a sock puppet, and you'll be responsible for it.
Don't worry, guys. It's in the works.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Before we move on, let's thank the first sponsor of today's episode. That is Lynda.com. All about getting you smarter. If you're a problem solver or you want to be a problem solver, if you're curious, you want to try something new, learn a new hobby, all that kind of stuff, take better pictures, master software like Photoshop or Pro Tools or whatever, Excel, Lynda.com has everything you need to feed your curious mind. Some of the latest courses on Lynda.com include Node.js Essential Training, Up and Running with Clojure, AngularJS, Building a Data-Driven App. Perfect stuff for all of you developers out there. If you want to learn PHP, new courses include Easy PHP Projects, single-serving sites. There's Cake PHP 2 Essential Training, and a course for beginners that's called Introducing PHP. Whether you're a beginner looking to develop your first app or you're an expert that's looking to master another programming language, Lynda.com has you covered. I've watched tons of videos on Lynda, ranging from audio production, learning audio software, to learning a new video editing suite with Adobe Premiere when we switched over from Final Cut quite a while ago. And it's an excellent resource. Just dip in, find the answer that you need, or watch kind of long form and kind of get lost in it, because the videos are they're super well produced. And with a Lynda.com membership, you get access to all of those. It's thousands of video courses, all on demand, so you can learn on your own schedule. And courses are also structured so you can watch them however you choose. You can watch them start to finish, or you can consume little pieces here and there. You can actually browse through the transcript that's included and follow along there, as well as click through the transcript. That's going to jump your video to whatever point you're looking at, and you can pick up watching from there. There are tutorials that you can download on the go, access for Android and iOS devices, and you can manage your playlists so that you can kind of customize your learning path and choose which courses you want to watch over time. Your Lynda.com membership gives you unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics, all for one flat rate. Whether you're looking to become an expert, if you're passionate about a hobby, or you just kind of want to learn something new, definitely check out lynda.com/allaboutandroid. Sign up for your free 10-day trial. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank them for their support. All right. It's time to check out some of the best hardware from this year. Flo, you've had your hands on a lot of the phones and tablets this year.
Yes, I have.
Probably too many.
You know what? It was a great year regardless. No, honestly, there was so much great hardware this year. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult to give a lot of the phones that I reviewed and tablets I reviewed this year less than a 4 out of 5.
That's saying something.
That's how I feel about this year.
Mm. What was the cream of the crop for you? What kind of
Cream of the crop for me was the Huawei Mate Nexus 6P. I think that was the best
phone
of the
year. Hard to deny that one.
I almost said the Galaxy S6, but there's something about stock Android on a really sleek black device that just I just couldn't pass up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice one. So, okay, so the 6P, obviously, like, that was on my list as well. Have you been tempted, Aaron?
Absolutely. I mean, if I wasn't still really liking my 6, the 6P would be the one I would get for sure. And I've heard lots of great things about it. I mean, people that are using it say, you know, it's fast, it's speedy, it's, you know, looks great, operates wonderfully. So I think that would be the one I would definitely go to if I didn't like my 6. The 6 Nexus 6 does everything I want it to do.
Yeah.
It's still performing well for you,
and it's so inexpensive right now.
$250.
$250 for the
It's crazy. Wow. That's a lot of hardware for $250.
1 year later and it drops by half.
Yeah. 6P, I think, you know, and the thing about the 6P is it seems to be so far the most well received.
Yes.
In the community overall, not just with users but with reviewers. And it's really making a name for itself. Yep. And I think we're seeing it's getting talked about it in the mainstream media, which, you know, before this, I think it was kind of hit or miss whether people actually saw this as a phone that they would recommend to people, the Nexus brand. I mean, recommending the Nexus brand to people. But now you see it. I mean, I see it in the streets. I see people using it all over the place. And the 5X, but the 6P definitely.
I think the 6P, yeah, more so you hear a lot more of the 6P than the
And I think
the 5X.
Maybe a little bit of that is because of the iPhone 6 plus whatever when they started we're going to do a 6-inch phone.
Mm-hmm.
Now people have kind of embraced it and they're like, oh, what's this thing? That's pretty cool.
Right.
Thanks, Apple.
Yeah, thanks, Apple.
For doing that for
the
first time.
The
note I put in here is it's nice to have a true premium Nexus to be proud of through and through.
Yes,
and
well said.
Which is not to say that the Nexus 6 wasn't nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was a large device, but it was large even for large device fans. You know what I mean? Like the big difference between
and you've got big hands.
What's that?
You've got big hands.
I've got big hands, but I mean
it's hard for you to use.
No matter what, the 6 just had a little bit wider of a face versus the 6P.
Yeah, we could do a side by side. Tiny bit
of extra width, you know, made all the difference here. Let me clear some of my notifications because I stockpile.
Oh my goodness!
I stockpile notifications.
I do too.
So. I mean, it's just a little bit narrower, and it really does make all the difference for reaching across if you're using one hand.
Yeah, it's really hard for me when I'm holding it. Like,
I just can't make it.
I can't make it all the way across to unlock the screen.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, see, so if I do this, I'm not going to show my thing, but I mean, it's like I can't quite
get it. Yep. Stretch.
Yep.
So the 6P. And, you know, a lot of people like the 5X, but between the two, obviously, we are choosing the 6P here. What else?
So I actually did a whole, like, best of
column you did.
On Greenbot. The next category I sort of chose was best mid-range device. I actually did a little video, which is kind of adorable. It's me making a joke that you can't hear because the sound is not connected. But anyway,
that's okay.
So for best mid-range phone, I had chosen the Moto X Pure Edition, which actually flubbed, and I said Play Edition in the video, so really sorry about that, everyone. But the Pure Edition. And the thing is, it's not a mid-range phone, but it's a phone, it's a high-end phone at a mid-range price.
Right.
Which is why I put it there. And for like $500 I think less than that. It's fantastic. It's a fantastic device, and you can customize it the way you want. It's speedy. It's like the camera is actually good. Finally, Motorola, thank you.
Well, this was a big year for just cameras in general on Android.
I mean, we could have spent a whole show just talking about like, the different. I did so much camera testing this year. So this is definitely the year of the camera.
I get the feeling that you're kind of happy to see 2015 from a hardware perspective, kind of in the rearview mirror, start fresh.
Yeah, but it was good because I was busy.
Yeah, that's true.
Good to be busy. Job's legitimate. Good to be busy. So you know what? Keep it coming. It's all right. It's like a farmer with lots of crops, you know? I had so many crops this year and it was great. And I hope I have more crops next year.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. I don't think that train's slowing down anytime soon. You also have the OnePlus X on your list, which I have on my list, not because I really played around with it very much, but because it made a really good impression on me.
It was really pretty.
From the few times that you brought it in and just kind of reviews seemed pretty positive on it.
Yeah.
Definitely more so than its other companion device.
So the OnePlus X is $250. And by the way, I just want to backtrack. The Moto X Pure Edition is $350, starts at $350. So just wanted to get that out there. But yeah, the OnePlus X $250, pretty good, like, burner phone. If you just need, like, a backup phone for traveling and it has dual SIM capabilities and Oxygen OS is pretty close to stock Android. I mean, they don't ruin it.
Motorola is pretty really light, like light Motorola. Touch.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, OnePlus and Motorola are both pretty good about the whole, like, near-stock thing. Mm-hmm. So the only bummer about the OnePlus X is that it doesn't work on all the bands here in the U.S. for T-Mobile and AT&T. So there's one little setback.
Yeah. Let's see here. I did not get a chance to play around with the LG V10. But I think you liked it for the camera
stuff.
It was
so fantastic. I took it. I took it for Thanksgiving, and I shot long exposure shots at the, you know, late at night at the beach. And I finally got into what it could do, and I just thought it was like it's really phenomenal what LG has managed to do with its camera software this year and its hardware. Good job, LG.
The device kind of hardware always kind of looked a little funky to me.
You know what? It's okay because I realize now it's okay. At first I was like, this is so masculine and bulky. But it's actually pretty rugged. And you kind of want the grippiness on the back is really good when we were like hiking and stuff.
Oh,
like
okay.
That,
so. All right. All right. Good for unlike about
the,
camera shots.
Unlike the Nexus 6, right?
yeah, exactly.
You need some grippiness. Grippiness is a good thing.
What else here? Oh, you got, I guess phablet.
I put everything into categories.
Category. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So phablet was the Galaxy Note 5. Obviously it is the best with that little stylus. It's fast. That extra gig of RAM really gives it a kick. The screen on it is like near perfection.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
It's, it really is. You know, granted, yes, I'm sorry guys. It's missing the micro SD. But maybe next year. I have a feeling. I just have.
You
a
think
gut
they're going to bring
I have
back
a feeling
the?
They're going to bring it back.
Wow, okay,
that'd be nice.
They have to.
That would be good.
We've been complaining so much about it.
Yeah. That's the one thing I really miss on the Nexus 6. I
mean, yeah, it's like, absolutely.
I don't want to be forced into paying a lot of money to upgrade to 64 or 128 gig. I just don't.
Just
right?
At the onset.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to have a device that I can put like a bunch of movies on for a trip or something, and then maybe even swap it out.
Well, and you have all those high-res photos you're taking.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's got a 16-megapixel camera that shoots at like really big pictures. I was trying to think of the resolution. You know, it just shoots really big pictures, and they're like 3 gig. They're 3 megabytes each, and that, you know, that adds up really fast.
Really fast, yeah.
An HD video. Like, you want me to shoot what in like 4K? Are you crazy? Where am I going to put all that stuff?
Yeah. Yep.
Got to go somewhere. This tablet was good. I actually like this a lot. The Galaxy Tab S2.
It was so good. Mm-hmm. Second year in a row, it was the Tab S series.
The Tab S series is
and
great.
That has a micro SD slot.
There you go.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
So I was very happy about
it makes
that.
It to the tablet. Maybe not
popped
to the
a little
phone
64
now, but
gigger in there. Yeah. And, you know, I love it because I can put like videos on it and just stream it to the TV with the tablet. It's really fantastic because, you know, the Chromecast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do I know the Chromecast?
Yeah, I know. You were tweeting about it too, the Chromecast audio this weekend. It was just, it's such a great, Such a great device and very thin, very easy to cart around.
No, the build quality on that is really is awesome. And then what about wearable?
So favorite wearable was, so actually I didn't review this, but the Moto 360.
Really?
And only because, for my opinion, since I didn't write the review, my opinion for choosing this was that this has the most choice. We have three different sizes you can choose from. If you're a man with smaller wrists, you can choose from a 42 millimeter. Women have 42 millimeter with like really pretty rose gold finishes and all that. It's smaller. It's customizable. It's what is it? 250?
Yeah, it's somewhere around
300. It's affordable.
That flat tire though.
I know, but the flat tire really comes, it's useful. It's not just like that because...
Yeah.
Looks like starting at 300.
Yeah, so starting at 300.
Moto 360, this year's model, is one that I wish I had a chance to play around with, and I really didn't. So I'm just kind of like taking
everybody's word for it. You liked the Huawei watch, right?
That's the watch that I recommend this year. That's the one that I really
liked that too. It's just
enjoyed.
The price point for me was a little too high.
It's expensive. It is.
Yes.
I don't want to.
No doubt about it.
It's about the same as the Apple iWatch, right?
What, 350, I think?
The baseline, right?
I believe it starts at 350.
I know, but that's the other thing is when you're an Android user, I'm trying to figure out if people are into Android as much as. I'm trying to figure out a way to put this correctly, but I'm trying to figure out if people are as willing to spend
more,
like as much money on their phone as they would on an accessory. And I think it's great that there's an option for people who want to buy a really high quality smartwatch with Android Wear. I think that's awesome.
Tech.
And now you don't have to use the Apple Watch if you don't want to. You can use an Android Wear watch, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that totally makes sense with why all these high end brands are coming out. They're like. Mm-hmm. Eat your heart out, Tim Cook.
Yes.
Yeah. What is that? The Tag Heuer.
Tag Heuer.
Yeah. However you say that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super expensive.
I was actually pretty impressed by that.
Yeah.
I got to wear it for an hour.
You did.
It's really pretty.
We had it in here for one reason, for some reason or another, and I was able to steal it off the charger wear it for an hour and be like, I'm living with this watch for the next 60 minutes, and I really liked it. It was nice. It felt good. It's definitely a chunky piece, but.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not doing predictions, I don't think, right? But I think, or are we? That's not a segment, right?
No,
it's not a segment, but predict.
This would be one of my predictions for next year, if I had to make one, is that we're going to see lower cost Android Wear devices hit the marketplace that are actually decent. I think next year is going to be the year for that. It wasn't quite this year. We saw a lot more choices this year. I think next year we're going to see even more, and they're going to be at lower prices, maybe with some sacrifices and some of the features. I think it's going to be a lot more accessible for people like me who are like, I'm not spending that much on a watch.
Yeah.
You know, I can get a Casio, a nice Casio for $25 on Amazon.
$50 Android Wear.
I know. Yeah. Watch lovers are out there cringing, right? They're like, oh, no.
A nice Michael Kors for $35 at Macy's on sale. I mean,
But you know what? If you pay $35, $50 for an Android Wear watch, you're going to get a display that you're just not going to want to look at.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
But how about 150? That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's going to, I don't think I'd buy it, but I would buy for 150.
Yeah.
You know, or
that's
definitely
why
100,
right?
That's
so many people right? like the first gen Moto 360.
Next
it's
Christmas.
Only 150.
Because it's still the older technology, but it's still fun. It's still good.
It's not that like there's nothing wrong with it. It's just.
No.
And your eyes get used to the resolution of it. But even the first time I put it on, I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I need a higher resolution.
You're still wearing yours.
I am. I am. It's the watch that I have, so I wear it. Okay, so let's see here. I really was impressed with the Galaxy S6 and the Edge series. I thought those were both really...
They were just beautiful.
Excellent devices.
Great job, Samsung, on
design. Moto G for the budget. I know in yours you said usually it has been Moto G, but then the OnePlus X kind of came along and kicked it out the door. I still think the Moto G is an excellent choice. For the budget.
I agree.
You're getting those updates from Motorola, and that's not something that comes to all their devices
nowadays.
And
the Moto E now, too.
So, Moto, but not in the U.S. Moto E's not getting the updates in the U.S. at this point.
Maybe if you fly to Europe, you can just be like, look, Moto, I'm here.
All you got to do is buy a plane ticket to Europe and get your update and then fly
back. I paid so much money to be here.
I'm sure there's an easier way. NVIDIA Shield tablet?
Yes.
Do you happen to have?
Is
this last year's or this year's?
This is last year's, but it's still awesome. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not the update. I actually have two of them.
Yeah.
So thanks, NVIDIA.
Wow.
And I use it all the time. I love it. I took it to, I was in Germany recently, and it was like my go-to device. I was using it all the time. I was watching movies, and battery life is great, and it plays great games fantastically, and the sound is good. And it's just like, they really hit it out of the ballpark with this device. Then you have to stream. I didn't even talk about the streaming games or streaming your desktop or any of that kind of stuff that you can do with it. The controller is fantastic. I use the controller for this, but then I also hook it up to my PC and I play Fallout with it and all my games now that I would have liked to have used a controller for, but I didn't have one that I was comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally comfortable with the controller now. For me, that would definitely be on my list of things that I think are hardware items I think are really cool. And I know that there's a newer model.
Yeah, the K1.
K1, I think it is. You know, it should be just as good. And
less expensive.
And so I think if people, the screen quality is good. The graphics processor in it is fantastic, of
and
course.
If you're a gamer, you get access to games that you don't get on other devices.
Absolutely.
On other Android devices.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's really compelling.
So, and I think, I'm not sure, but I think the, the controller, I think, is compatible with the TV. The whatever they're calling it, their names are awful. The Shield tablet, the Shield, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Shield TV. Mm-hmm.
Shield TV is that what it is now?
I don't know. I can't remember.
But I believe so not only can you use the controller with your PC, but I think you can also use it with the Shield TV.
Yeah, the Shield Android TV box.
Yeah, that thing. So if you're Shield in a box, if you're in the Android if you're TV. into this kind of thing, buy the tablet, buy the TV, and then you can use it on both.
Any other hardware that caught your attention?
Chromecast.
Oh yeah, I had that in my list too.
Yeah.
Chromecast Audio.
Chromecast.
You know that's not Android. But.
Chromecast Audio and the new Chromecast. Mm-hmm. And I guess the new Chromecast isn't that much different than the old Chromecast. But what I like about it is that Google is actually investing in this platform.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it first came out, I was like, "This is awesome. This is great. It got really good buzz. Everybody was talking about it." But then I was like, "Oh, they're not going to develop it. It's going to get canceled or something. Something's going to happen." It's too good to be true, but they're actually investing in it, and they came out with the new model this year, as well as the Chromecast Audio.
I just got my second Chromecast Audio.
Okay, so I'll let you talk about the audio part.
Okay.
But also in the app ecosystem, it seems like they've been able to convince people like Netflix to continue to develop for it. A bunch of other apps, that now
Hasbro has all the games that you can play, with your family, which is
so Risk
neat.
And Monopoly.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Wheel of Fortune too.
Wheel of Fortune. Just Dance was one of the very first Chromecast compatible games that you can play.
It's so cool.
And it actually works. It actually works really well. So I think the new device, but really it's the ecosystem that they're developing around Chromecast that gets me going.
Yes.
So.
And
$35.
Yes, I know. That's so the cheap. Best part is that it's so inexpensive. The Chromecast Audio, I just picked up my second one. Have one on our Bose sound dock in the kitchen. Our other one I connected a couple of nights ago to our sound, like a Samsung sound bar in the living room. Connect and then created a group between both.
Yeah.
Connected to the group, played a song. And I mean, it works exactly the way that you
expect. Oh, my God.
It's
really?
Awesome. It's so cool.
Music's in sync?
Oh, yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Can you take a video so we can hear it?
Well, that's kind of a hard thing to illustrate in video form.
It just sounds amazing though, surround sound in your house and you're just like, let's all just rock out everybody while we're cooking.
Yeah. No,
this has been the dream of mine since, I don't know, 2006 or something. I've been thinking about how to make this device, and without having to buy a Sonos, right? Because Sonos does it really
well. That's the thing, right?
It's really expensive. Mm-hmm. So that's really good to hear. I was kind of waiting to hear from someone whether it actually worked as advertised or not.
Yes.
So
it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I mean, it totally.
Maybe I'll stop thinking about how to make it and just go buy it.
Any desire I had to get a Sonos is now out the window. Yeah. It's like, I don't need it. This is perfect. I'm used to the Cast. My family's used to the Cast.
We're Sonos.
Kind of thing.
Right.
I know, right? Wow. Did that come out of nowhere. Ron said, despite the fragmentation argument, I love how many options there are for really good devices, from the Nexus 6P and 5X to the Moto X Pure to the OnePlus 2 to eventually Next Bit, There we go. And on and on and on. Just the openness of the Android platform. The hardware is open, and you can find the device that's right for you. Thank you, Ron. Your lips look a little whiter than your face, but I will accept it. Good job, awesome. Brian.
Holy moly.
You know, excellent, just crafted work. That together. No big deal.
No worries. It was waiting there for about 15 minutes. It's cool.
Okay. You've been sitting on that one.
Yeah.
Brian awesome. Is crafty. Real quick, because like I said before, we're really over here. Worst, most disappointing hardware of 2015? Anything on the list
I'm
for you
so
guys?
Sorry, HTC, the 1M9. Oh. I'm so sorry.
Because we all because want HTC we to really, do really
yeah,
things.
We really just... Better luck next year. Yeah. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Don't put out a device that looks exactly just the same.
Looking forward to what you're going to do next year.
Yeah. Although I am really looking forward to the HTC Vive. But
I agree. There is that. Which
like I authentically, that's at the top of my reality. List for next year. Like I really want to play around with that. Any hardware disappointments?
So I would say Nexus Player. I don't know if that was last year, though.
Yeah,
was that last
Nexus
year?
But it exists... Yeah, Nexus Player and the greater Android TV platform thing.
They're working on it though. You know, you can see things coming. And what I did was I took my Nexus Player and rooted it and put stock Android on it, and oh my word, it works great.
Oh, wow.
It works so great. And so I wish they would just do that. You know, but
so
they
then
want,
how do you control it with a wireless mouse?
Yeah, I have a wireless one of those little mini wireless keyboard mouse things, and I've got the USB Ethernet dongle. I've got a USB hub, and I've got so all of that works great. I can't use the remote anymore, but that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So, it works.
That remote app sucks.
It works so well. The ROM that I'm using also supports Chromecast. Uh-huh. So I can. That was one of the things that my kids really liked about it was you could Chromecast to it without having a Chromecast connected, right?
Yeah, but there's issues with that.
Now it works though.
Okay. Because I was going to say there's issues with that. If you have a Netflix account, for example, just one of a few examples, but if you have a Netflix account with multiple profiles and you go to Chromecast to the Nexus Player as a Chromecast using the Netflix app, it will get stuck in the Netflix interface.
I remember that.
And you'll have to pick up the remote and log into the appropriate profile before you can then cast going forward.
I remember that.
It's like, I never want to use it.
I do not have that problem on the one that I rooted and put the ROM on.
No, that makes perfect sense.
I don't know why they can't fix that stuff. But anyway, that's a downer for me.
Yeah. OnePlus 2 was kind of a little bit of a disappointment for me. I think, I was kind of hoping for a little bit more than what we got. Mm-hmm. And yes, I understand the fact that, when you cut price, you also have to cut corners and everything. But I thought it was kind of a letdown. Android One as kind of an effort led by Google to lower cost devices to emerging markets and everything. It really seems like the Android One program has kind of stripped back and back and back, and now is kind of a shell of what it what it began as, and isn't quite living up to
its
ambition. But yeah, you know that it's still a priority for Sundar and company. And then Ron says wearables. So counter to what you were talking about, Android Wear hasn't changed the world. Neither has the Apple Watch. Wearables are just a neat accessory if you can afford it. They don't feel crucial yet. Maybe they never will. Only time will tell.
Thanks, Ron.
Nice end there. He also says VR. Ron says, we all know VR is coming, but it hasn't got here yet. And I still think it's a solution without a problem. It'll be something neat you can do. But like wearables, there's not a must-have app yet. That said, I love the efforts being put towards it, and I'm watching my niece very closely to see if she likes the ViewMaster I got her for Christmas. Spoiler, kids will be the ones who define this as a killer app or not, which means that we might have to wait a while before we really realize.
I'm sorry. My Santa's hat fell off, and I totally went into your screen, and
It's all right.
I didn't want his head to be cold. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I understand. It's not that cold in here, though.
Get out the hot glue.
The hat doesn't
want to
stay on, really.
It's fine. Santa can be jolly without his hat.
There we go. All right. Santa, you work on getting warm. Maybe I could help you with some warm sheets. I know that might sound like a strange invitation, but hey, one of our sponsors today, new sponsor actually to All About Android, is bullandbranch.com. The one important thing that you can do to help ensure that you have a good day, and I'm talking to you, Android Santa, is to sleep well the night before. So the night before Christmas, Santa, you better get some good sleep. One company has set out to make this possible, and it's Bull and Branch. They've reinvented bedding with the sole purpose of making your nights more comfortable than ever. Their bedding is super soft. It's going to introduce a new standard of comfort. You're going to measure everything against it, basically. You can't get their products anywhere other than their site. That's bowlandbranch.com. So you're paying for quality sheets and not department store overhead. For only a couple hundred bucks, you can treat yourself to the same luxurious, incredibly comfortable bedding that U.S. presidents and countless celebrities swear by right now. Bowl & Branch is also the first bedding brand to receive fair trade certification, so you never have to worry about how or where they were made. Plus, they donate a portion of every sale to charity. I have a set of Bowl & Branch sheets, and it's really hard when it comes time to wash them and put a different set of sheets on because they're just not as comfortable. Give the gift of great sleep this holiday season. Visit bowlandbranch.com and enter the offer code AAA for 20% off your entire order. That includes sheets, towels, blankets, duvet covers, and more. They have it all covered here. Plus, free shipping. All their products come beautifully packaged in signature boxes. It's like you're opening a piece of art when you get the box with the sheets inside. And I know that sounds strange, but it's true. Very, very nice packaging. They'll even let you try their sheets risk-free for 30 nights. So you can test it out for yourself where it really counts. That's BOLLANDBRANCH, bowlandbranch.com. Make sure to use the offer code AAA at checkout for 20% off your entire order. Sleep better. And we thank Bowl & Branch for their support. Santa Android. Sandroid.
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 Oh, that's actually Sandroid. The wallpaper.
Santadroid. Santandroid. Yes. Santandroid. Something like that. I think I know what you need to get me for Christmas is another set of Bowl & Branch sheets. Okay. Let's talk about apps a little bit. Why don't we? All right, let's blast through this section because we still have the arena to get to, and whoo, it's closing in on 7 o'clock. Okay, favorite apps from the year. This we don't have to get super exhaustive in this. Really, it's just kind of like what apps have really stood out for you. I know for me,
all of them.
Perfect, done. For me, Google Photos was pretty much.
I was
going to
say we didn't talk about that earlier, but Google Photos is fantastic.
It really is
fantastic.
I love
Thank
it.
You for that, Google. It's become everything I could want out of a photo app.
It's where that creepy line meets cool. Because, like, it does all this scanning of your photos, and you can just do a search.
It does if you tag them well.
It knows how to do it. Well, not necessarily. You don't sometimes have to even tag them. Yeah. Sometimes it has image recognition, and it goes, oh, that's a dog. So you do a search for dog. Gives you all of your dog pictures.
That's exactly what I did.
That's cool.
I was with someone, and they said, oh, do you have a picture of your dog? And I was like, I do, but I don't know if I could pull it up. So I opened it up, put in dogs. And it also pulled up pictures of my cats. But, you know, I could easily find a picture of my dog. It was right there. It's like, yeah, here's what he looks like, you know? Mm-hmm. So
it was on an episode. I know this because I've scrubbed through so many episodes of This Week in Google and MacBreak Weekly. But it was on Twig, I believe, where Leo pulled up Google Photos, saw a picture of a wombat in his camera roll. So he did a search for wombat. And what do you think returned?
The wombat.
The wombat picture.
Wow.
It's good enough to, we called it the wombat test. It's good enough to pass the wombat test. That's pretty impressive.
I don't even know where you would find a wombat, actually.
He was traveling. I think he was in Australia or something at the time.
Like, wombats.
Yeah, we don't have wombats in our backyard here, cool. That's for sure. But no, Google Photos, super smart, awesome stuff. I love that app, and I use it all the time. Just a couple of random ones that I've liked this year. Hooks alerts for everything, kind of a cool kind of pick and choose way of being notified in your notification shade for kind of preset things as they appear. Just Watch, which I've used so much. It's the app that allows you to kind of tell it which services you subscribe to, Netflix, let's say Xfinity, you know, Hulu or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you can plug in like a show or a movie and it'll tell you where you can find it online and if it's streaming for free on any of your services. So it's like a good place to go when you just want to find content. Beatport for some reason I've been using the Beatport app for free electronic music a lot this year. Boomerang, which is the animated GIF/GIF
app by Instagram?
I like Layout by Instagram. That's one that I use a lot because it's like the easiest collage maker. I mean,
and Instagram has some pretty good apps apparently.
They did a good job this year.
Yeah.
Fixing their apps. You know what? I'll give it to you, Instagram.
Mm-hmm. There.
GJ.
Was that
good
so
job.
Hard? Amazon Video. Finally able to get Amazon Video. Right?
Thank you,
that's
Amazon.
A pretty big win. Yeah, you got to jump through some hoops to do it.
Right.
But at least you can now.
At least you can do it. Yeah.
Yes.
It's worth the hoops.
Although it doesn't come with Chromecast.
Oh, the hoops that's used to the be, next thing. The hoops used to be way worse, right? I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I was doing it when the hoops were like.
Fiery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's a lot easier.
Yeah, agreed. this one's only probably matters to me, but Water Your Body, which I did feature in the arena, but
that
app
that.
Has systematically changed my water consumption. Thank you very much. That's what I downloaded you for. That's what you exist for, and you work. So thank you. Snappy was another one I really liked. That's the selfie app where it detects when your hand is open. And then you close it, and then when you do it the second time,
LG
it takes
does
a picture.
That.
That's a cool one.
Actually, LG and Samsung do that in their camera apps.
Oh, see, that's natively. An awesome. So it's just that's like, a great feature because then you can mount it.
But
somewhere.
Sometimes I'll be like preparing for a selfie, and then
it'll just go.
And then it'll think I'm doing something, and then my friend and I are like,
bloop, bloop. That's okay. Just do it again. Although Snappy has pretty poor support. And then the last one is an app called Shudder, which is a video streaming service for horror movie fans. And it's all horror movies and
wait,
really great.
Shudder or like?
Like Shudder. Okay. Oh, that kind of Shudder. Like, oh,
I hate
I'm scared. Oh, see, then you won't like Shudder.
Yeah, no.
But, it's a really great
series. So I assume you're a horror movie fan. And
I do.
So
I like a horror movie for sure. So those are some of the apps that I like. What about you guys?
Cardboard camera was pretty neat.
Yeah,
neat. Now you can make your own little VR home movies if you want. Kind of, sort of.
I need to remember to use it some more when I go someplace exciting.
Yeah.
It's like one of those apps that's really cool, but then I'm going to have to remind myself to install and use it.
Yeah. I fell in love with Nine this year because just for exchange support, totally worth the $10.
What is Nine?
That. It's an email app. I should really just bring it to the arena one of these days.
Yeah, apparently. Start off 2016 with it.
All right.
If it's that strong, you could start off
ahead. You're going to take it, Ron. Venmo. I fell in with Venmo this year. All my friends got on a Venmo train, and now I just use it for that. Obviously,
for sharing for
paying back my
for
friends,
paying back your friends.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great. Obviously, I fell in love with two games this year: Neko Tsume and
that's the cats one, right?
Yes.
Okay. From a couple of weeks ago,
and the Pokemon game,
of course,
which is great.
Pokemon's a world I just don't understand, but okay. Okay.
Well,
okay.
Well, you know, and texture.
Yeah.
I put that down. They are an advertiser here.
They are, full disclosure.
Before that, I really love magazines. I loved magazines. I didn't want to store them anymore. So I got a texture subscription, and that's how I read my Gossip Rags and my New Yorkers and my, you know, my home and garden stuff. So I get all of it.
Just it's in awesome. General, subscription services is like a really big deal now. Like that's awesome.
I mean, not
just in apps and stuff. Like in the audio production world, instead of paying $200 for a single audio plugin, you can pay $100 a year to get access to all of their audio plugins.
What is Creative Cloud?
And I'm just like, yeah, exactly.
Like, Creative Cloud has changed my life,
and that's awesome. It's not something that I ever thought I would want to do. Like, what? I don't own it. This is horrible.
No,
but then
I don't
it's like,
need to own it.
You don't really need to own it. No. You just need access to it.
Absolutely.
And $100 a year for something like that is actually a pretty darn good price,
especially if you're only going to use it a few times.
Yeah,
you know, it works. Mm-hmm. It works.
What about you, Aaron?
I've got a number of them. Now, I mentioned this last year, too. I know like not a lot of people are going to be on board with this, but I'm just going to say it because I like board games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right? Board games are coming back, and this was another really good year for board games. So, kind of some staple games that didn't exist before for mobile now exist, like Kingdom Builder and Splendor. Those are two that I just put on. Small World 2. So if you like board games, they're really, really good. On mobile now, and especially on tablets.
And these are board games like
multiplayer sync through the cloud board games. Yes. Can you play in real time?
You can play in real time. Galaxy Trucker is a good example of that. Mm-hmm. Galaxy Trucker is awesome. I think that was one of my picks.
Yeah, I believe it was.
So
yeah.
Go back and watch that episode. I'm not going to go over it again. It's such a great game. But, you know, Ticket to Ride, Star Realms. Oh, my word. Star Realms is great as a card game, but it's really good on mobile as well. They got great, great apps. So all of those games. Plague is another good one. It's kind of scary too.
I've played that before.
Oh yeah, Plague is really good. You create a disease that's you're trying to take over the world, and anyway, you know, it's really fun until like you get news of like a new flu virus that's sweeping across the nation or something. Like, oh, maybe I shouldn't play that anymore. It's just right. A little too real.
I don't want to know what could happen.
You know, another one this year that I really liked was Crossy Road.
A lot of people, I mean, it was just like...
Those developers, they're really good at making games, actually.
Their follow-up, Pac-Man 3.
Smash, super good.
Well, there's also Smash Road now, too, right?
Pac-Man 2.
Is that the same developer? I think it is.
What?
Smash Road? My kids have been playing Smash Road. They're like, oh, Dad, you got to play Smash Road.
Of Crossy Road.
I don't know if that's the same one. My son said it was the same developer, but I'm not so sure. I believe him. The chat room will correct us if I'm wrong.
Road Smash, no.
But yeah, it brings out the inner Frogger in everybody, right? The year before that, of course, it was Flappy Bird, right? But this year, I think it's the Crossy Road phenomenon.
Never had the Flappy Bird. Too hard for me.
And then, you know, I put in my list maps, not because it's a new app for this year, but because of all the improvements that Google's put into
it. Yeah, that's a good point.
Being able to pick out destinations along your route.
You'll get there with usual traffic.
I've got a really long commute, you know? So there's always like, oh, I've got to stop by such and such on the way home, you know, or I want to stop by Starbucks. Like, I don't know which ones, you know, I should stop at or whatever. Like, it's just really nice to be able to go just plug in that and add a destination and have it figured out. It's fantastic. And also the rerouting has got a lot better. Rerouting your route.
Oh,
if there's traffic accidents, again, because because my commute is so long, that is a huge time saver for me. And so I just wanted to throw that out there. I know it's not a, I don't know if, did they have to be new apps? They don't have to be new apps, right?
I don't think so.
Lots of improvements there. Push Bullet, again, they've been developing a lot. I'm still on the Push Bullet fan wagon.
A lot of people have fallen off of that suddenly because of the pricing
and because they're cutting out the features. But up until a few weeks ago, it was still really, and I do use it. I use it every day, you know, even now. I still haven't found something that I like better.
I do too.
And the last one, just because it's that time of year, Santa Tracker.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to put it on the Chromecast and watch it on Christmas Eve. I'm so excited for that.
If you haven't checked that out, it's such a great app. It's so cute. They always add things every year and change it. Yeah. So that's the last one, just because, you know, it's Christmas time.
Good. I do want to make one last honorable mention. I know we're trying to move on. Microsoft's apps this year.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Like, this all coming to Android. I know they kind of had a little Cortana snafu recently, but it's fine. Good job on the apps this year, Microsoft.
They've been putting out some quality.
Yeah,
a lot of interesting developments going on. I'm not a Microsoft fan, but there's a lot of interesting developments going on with Microsoft. Seems like they're coming around.
Well,
you know, it's like they were trying to do it on their own for a long time, and now they're like, maybe we'll just, hitch a ride, which I think is fantastic.
By the way, you won in the arena with Galaxy Trucker.
Oh, awesome.
Episode 199, I believe.
Oh, thanks for looking that up. Wow.
I was curious. Ron says Focus. It's his photo management app of choice. Mm-hmm. Also Genius. Genius is great, actually. He says I use it more and more to get song lyrics. It's a really great song lyric database, you know, community-driven site. And then he says, and one of yours, Jason, Just Watch. Great for finding videos. And I completely agree. Although Yahoo also has Yahoo Video Search, I think is what it's called, just released a couple of weeks ago. It does what Just Watch does also, and it's a really good alternative, so check that out as well. Okay.
Phew.
Do you think we can do this? Can we do the arena?
Yeah, you know mine are always short. I'm always short anyway.
Fine, I'm not sure if it's short, but I probably have to make it short. Let's check this week's arena out. Let's jump right in and battle.
So many enter, but only one lives. Arena.
Checking in on last week's poll, episode 244. Sorry, guys. Looks like I took that one pretty monstrously. Yep, messaging. Even though it's not a messaging app anymore.
Thank you for the pity votes.
Still.
Thank you to all the pity votes.
Still won with 68%. Boxer and Packpoint close second.
I appreciate,
close second
I appreciate that Ron and I are tied. Yeah. I feel like that's good for our relationship. We'll see how what happens next year when things start to get real.
There we go. All right. So that means that I do not go first. I go last. Flo, that means you go first. You're the returning loser.
Look, you've got to do that to me, man.
Well, I don't know how else to say it. The returning not winner?
Okay, the returning, nice to. Try.
Here,
anyway.
Do you need audio?
No, it's fine. Alrighty. So my app pick is very Christmassy because I decided to have some holiday spirit. So my app is, I have to make sure I say it right, Christmas Radio. It's actually spelled Xmas Radio, and it is incredibly simple. All it does is aggregate all these links. Like, if you don't want to deal with finding stuff on TuneIn or finding like a Spotify playlist, just tune in to any of these radio stations that have, oh my gosh, I'm sorry about all the glares, by the way, that have streams, and it'll show you on the side here what the bit bytes are. 198
bit rate.
What the bit rate is. I knew that. And all you have to do is tap on it and see an annoying ad, because that's what happens. That's how people make their money. And then you could just play.
So these are radio stations?
This is the Soma FM Christmas radio station.
Oh, okay.
So you could just get it through here and then.
Oops. There you go.
It's incredibly simple. There's really, like, that's it. If you just, I don't want to bother with Spotify and TuneIn. Like, just give me an app.
Like, trying to find, like,
it.
A unique whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do
when
that.
When it comes to Christmas music for me, I just kind of want to fire it off and go. I don't want to spend too much time thinking about it.
And
it's
then
like,
you,
just play Christmas music.
Exactly. And
Christmas
then you
songs.
Ruin my whole, like, feed on Spotify and everything. So I just don't have time for that. So
understood.
It's free. Download it. Has annoying ads. But you know what? If you just need some Christmas spirit, deal with it. You went to the mall.
Yeah, you only have to click it once and then you get past
the ad. You
only
have to click it once. It's okay.
You get the radio station.
They get a little bit of money, you know? And they update the app every year. So I appreciate that, you know?
Christmas Radio.
La, la, la.
Hopefully you are still in a holiday spirit when
you watch
or listen to this episode.
Like 3 days ago, I was not. But now I am. So let's just embrace it, y'all.
Anyone listening to this after Christmas is like,
yeah, so you're hoping for voters, you know, between now and Christmas, like people to tune
in. I'm giving up on votes for this year, by the way. I just was like, I'll start in the new year.
All right, Aaron, what you got?
I mentioned, I'm surprised you guys haven't talked about this before, but my app is the Puffin web browser. That's right, the Puffin web browser.
Okay.
So I found this because it's pretty popular, actually. I think it's got over 1 million downloads. But I found this because I needed a web browser that ran quickly on all the little devices that I put up. I've got all these Raspberry Pis and the clones, and I load Android on there. And Chrome, because it's such a memory hog, typically does not run well on these devices. Likewise, if you've got an older phone without much memory, Chrome sometimes just lags. And so Puffin is a really fast web browser, or they purportedly are fast. We'll find out in a minute if they are or not. We'll do a little test here. But I found it to be very speedy, and it runs well on older devices or alternative devices. And that's because they run a lot of their search in the cloud. They offload a lot of this to the cloud. To be able to deliver the results and load the web pages faster. This is what it looks like, just so you know. I mean, it looks like a regular web browser. The other thing that they do really well is they have a built-in Flash player that's secure, supposedly.
Oh, Flash.
Yes. So if you have, you know, if you like to play some Flash games or something, or there's a website that always has Flash and it never loads in Chrome, and you're like, you can use Puffin to get that to work, and it actually works really, really well. I was playing some games on Ancon games and Armor games, and they all work
really
well.
This is good to know.
And it also has, for those games, by the way, it also has a built-in touchpad. So I think it's down here. I don't want to ruin the demo. There it is. I don't know if you can see that little trackpad. So now I've got an actual mouse that I can move around just like if I was sitting in front of a desktop machine. So again, for those Flash, most of this is for the Flash games. You can actually use the trackpad and touch on stuff. And yeah, so that helps you play the games. But the best thing about this is the speed. So I thought we'd do a little demo.
All right, let's do it.
So I've got two identical devices. Thanks again, NVIDIA. I've got two identical devices, so we can't complain about one of them having a faster processor. On this side, we've got Puffin, and on this side, we've got Google Chrome. So we're going to pick a couple websites and see which one loads faster.
Okay.
So we're going to have to coordinate this. So click in the address bar. Let's do twit.tv.
Okay. Should I put on a stopwatch?
Don't hit enter. Don't hit enter yet.
Okay, make sure.
Okay. So let's do like on your mark, get set, go. Ready? On your mark, get set, go. So Puffin's
loaded.
Ooh, look at that. That was noticeable.
Really fast, right?
Yeah.
Really fast. So let's try another one. Someone was saying IGN earlier, and I don't think I have anything cached from IGN. So IGN.com. Right? Okay, are you ready?
Okay, ready.
You say go this time.
On go? Ready, set, and then on go?
On go, we'll press it,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, ready, set, go.
IGN's...
Ooh, that took a while.
Oh, and there's an ad.
Well, the ad came first.
Yeah, but I mean...
Yeah, look
seriously.
How long that took, though.
Oh, no!
And then it crashed.
It's a live demo. Never works. But it did
always
load faster.
Always the way it goes.
I will say
it did
load faster.
All right, let's do the Verge test. Verge is always... Interesting.
Verge.com. Hang on.
This will be the last test. We'll see.
So on go. Ready?
Ready. Set. Go. Go.
Oh, what?
Oh, because it's the Verge. We went to a domain.
Okay,
name.
So should we add... Should we add the? All right.
You know, somebody owns that domain name for like $750,000.
They're like, this always works.
No, I don't want to talk to you.
Okay, all right. Okay. Now we're going to do it. Ready, set, go.
Boom. And we got the ads.
Well, you got the ad first.
Yeah,
you,
the ads. I mean, but the site's loading in the
you
back.
Got everything.
So hopefully that gives you an idea. It's it's super fast. There is a pro version there because there is some ads. It's when you go to the home tab or the home, whatever, when you first load it up, you know, you can, there's a place where you can put favorites and bookmarks and things. And that does have some ads on it. But so you can buy the pro version and get rid of the ads. I think it's $3.99. I forgot to put it in the rundown. I'm sorry. But it's not very expensive. So if you want to get rid of the ads, you can do that. If not, just use it. And especially if you've got a slow device that doesn't run Chrome very well, give Puffin a try. Cool stuff.
Excellent. Very cool. And definite speed improvement.
Speed test, yes.
We're getting good at these speed tests on the show.
We should do more.
Between the BlackBerry
no running.
Typing test.
That's all I ask. No running. Not doing that.
Okay. All right. Fine. Okay. So mine, and I'm going to try and keep this quick, even though you can spend a lot of time with this app, and it's a lot of fun, is called Triller.
Whoa. Music. I'm looking over your screen and seeing what you're going to say. Sorry. Sorry.
Triller music. Video maker.
That's why I said whoa,
because
that sounds really fun.
Honestly, I'm really surprised you did not bring this app to the arena.
It's because I gave up this year.
There's a lot to get embarrassed about with this app doing it.
Oh,
live.
Here we go. I see a Jason thumbnail.
All right, so I'll show you how you get started. Right, so you click the plus. It scans for music. I'm not sure exactly where this music is being pulled from, if it's being pulled from YouTube. I do know that I did a search for Yellow Gold, and it has like a segment of one of my songs from one random album on there, but which makes me really curious where this is coming from, because it's not like my album is many places. Anyway, so you've got a bunch of, I'm assuming, current hits by such artists as Justin Bieber and Oh Boy Prince and Yo Gotti and a bunch of other people that I have not really enjoyed in my spare time. Or you can access the music that you have stored on your device. So if you were to, let's see here, let's scroll down, maybe find Yellow Submarine. I'll go add that. So this is kind of the screen where you pick how much of the song you want to do.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and preview this. Do you have audio turned up?
I do.
Okay, let's hopefully I've got this up here.
In the town.
All right, so I can go ahead and set the out point.
All right,
there,
so if,
the input there.
So you can do a shorty or you can do a long one.
You know, and so you find the really great part or whatever. Okay, ooh. How about it go?
Perfect.
Okay. Okay, so let's say that's it. Great. So I go ahead and accept that. Now it's telling me that I have to rotate because it wants horizontal video, of course. This is where you start to record your music video. Now you've got different filters. You've got a little filter section, also some stuff like fisheye and that sort of stuff, so you can kind of get all crazy with it. Or you can have different hues of colors to paint it by. You can also just swipe on the video and it'll go through. So let's do black and white. You have speed control down here. So this changes the record speed. So if you want your clip to be slow-mo or fast or whatever, but it still synchronizes the music. So if I was to record this slow, the music would play fast, and then it would play my clip at normal speed, which would make me slow-mo but still lip-syncing properly. Hard to explain, but...
Oh, no, I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, if I was running, then mm-hmm. I'd be like...
You're running in slow motion?
I'd be
motion.
Running in slow motion, but I'd still be mouthing properly.
That's cool.
So you can do different things like that, all right? And you can basically create all of your clips, and I'm not going to do it live because it's really... Well, okay, so let's see. Maybe turn up the bleed so that I can hear it. Okay. It'll give you a little pre-roll. Where is it? Where's the music? Where are the lyrics? You know what? I bet this is pulling... Oh, because this is Beatles. They do hard pans. I bet this is like one side or the other. Okay, well, that isn't going to work because the Beatles are just too stereo on this album, apparently. But what I can show you is something that I was able to cut together earlier, and I'm really kind of embarrassed about this. But okay, so I'm looking through you. All right, so I created all these different clips, right?
Right.
This was me under my desk. This was me at my desk. This is it on the phone on the floor. This is me running down the street.
Well, I want to see the running down the street, please.
Well, I don't think I can. I don't think I can actually preview the clips themselves.
Darn it!
This is me spinning in my chair with slow motion. This is me spinning in my chair with fast motion. This is me in front of the brick. Okay, so you've got all these different clips of recordings of you doing the same thing. You hit the auto mix, and it creates its own like dynamically created. Mix for
oh
your
my
music
gosh,
video.
I have to see this.
I'm a little embarrassed. I'm looking through you.
You're not the same. Okay, this is really cool. Oh my gosh, this is so cool.
All right.
I want to go home and play with this now.
If you don't like it, you hit re-edit. It changes everything. If you want to change on a clip-by-clip basis, you can drag and flip up.
Oh my gosh, it has you spinning in circles and everything.
Oh, I get it.
So you can.
So you recorded the whole audio, whatever you chose for your audio. So
I chose my section
four or five times.
In and out.
Okay.
And then every time I go to a different place, record a thing or whatever. And it's just basically a way to.
Oh, I like this.
And now you can share it to.
Yeah, you can share it. You can save it to your photo roll. You can share it to the internet.
Okay, I guess what I'm doing tonight when I get home.
Whatever you want.
Goodbye, Dub Smash. Hello, Triller.
That's it. I don't know what else I have in products, and I don't know if we.
Yeah, it does remind me of Dub Smash, but in a better way.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is. Yes. So, anyways, there you go. I don't need to go into it any further than that. It's called Triller.
I'm sold on it already. Everybody vote for him. That's just so great. It's great.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would have.
Although I felt like kind of an idiot running down the street with my phone.
I was wondering if people were looking at you.
Lip-syncing. I waited until the street was empty that I did it. I was just maybe a little too aware. I'm curious to know where the songs are pulled from. But anyways, it's a cool way to.
Are the songs share? Like if you. Could you post it on YouTube and then would you get in trouble? And
well, I mean, in the same way that, posting a song by the Beatles on YouTube would probably get flagged. So, you probably would.
Ah, okay. Look at these young kids.
So they're not getting around that at all in any of their, they're not like, if you pay for your video, then you can get it.
Yeah, that's why I'm really curious to know where they pull in their music from, the actual selections that you can choose through there. Because none of that was on my phone.
Okay.
That was all through their service, whatever it is. So I don't know what service they're pulling from.
So you can't YouTube use your music? Own song?
You can
use your own song.
That's what I did there.
Ah, okay.
Beatles was in my on my device.
Okay.
So there you go. It's called Triller Music Video Maker. Thanks to a few people who actually pointed this out to me. And I had heard of it, but then I kept getting recommendations from people. They were like, you got to check this out. This would be awesome in the arena. And so thanks to all those who sent it in because it's a cool app. It's a lot of fun, and it's free. All right, so vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Christmas Radio? Is it Puffin Web Browser? Is it Triller? AAApoll.com/245 to place your vote for your favorite app this week, and we will check in on it. Not next week, because next week's the best
in the new year.
In the new year. And you know, the previous year's arena will already be over and done with, because I think at this point, we'll see where that ends.
Jeez, okay, people, okay, no Christmas spirit. Dang, guys, Santa's bringing you cold.
They're like, but our Christmas spirit is we're going to make a Christmas music video.
I got one vote.
That's a good idea, actually. I got one vote. What I'm doing on Christmas.
Yes, I want to see it. I want to see it. I know right, you can do good things right, with this right, flow.
I this has your name written for, all over. Yeah, you could use this for Christmas, you know, Christmas songs with your family.
There we go.
No, this is what I'm going to be doing to avoid my family.
You're going to go to a room.
I'm going to go to a room. Like, you're like, going to the bathroom 3 hours later. Look what I made.
What's that music in there? What are you doing? What are you doing
nothing,
in there?
Nothing.
It's my bathroom routine.
Well, that's it. That's it for this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Put a fork in 2015, because we've got another year, as we always do, 2016. And I'm sure great magical things are going to happen in the world of Android, as well as the world of All About Android.
Yes.
That's how I feel.
That's your prediction.
That's my prediction.
Okay.
Great things are afoot. Aaron Newcomb, always a pleasure having you on, and especially for the last episode of the year. Thanks for coming.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's nice to be back for that.
Yeah.
Do I get to plug?
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought you were throwing it over to me for that. Well, you can always follow me on Google Plus. That's where I kind of, when I am on Google Plus, it's the only place I actually post. Everything else goes out to Twitter and Facebook from there. It's my dirty little secret. But I'm on Google Plus. So if you want to interact with me, comment on something, go to Google Plus and do it there, because that's what I typically look at. We mentioned Benicia Makerspace before. I saw someone, somebody else lives in Benicia apparently, that's in the chat room. They said they're going to come check it out. So that's awesome. But it's not just for Benicia. It's for anybody that lives in, Solano County or maybe northern Contra Costa County. We have people coming in from Napa. We got people coming up from Hercules, Pinole. If you're in that area and you want a good makerspace to hang out in, I recommend Benicia Makerspace. That's what I'm saying. And also I do a lot of other things here on the Twit Network. This morning I was on Floss Weekly. We talked about Bridge Builder. It's this really cool competition where kids build bridges and submit their designs online. And then they get a prize if they're picked. But it's just really fun. And we were totally geeking out over that. It's really cool. And I think I'm going to co-opt that and run a competition in the makerspace. Get some kids and adults to come in and do bridge design, because it's really, really fun. So, yeah.
Radical. Sounds good. I think that your makerspace is the best makerspace ever.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've not been there yet, but I imagine it's pretty awesome.
It is pretty cool. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Right on. Well, you can go there because you live near it, so you should, and do a video or something.
Yeah.
Flo.
Yes.
What you got going on?
I'm going kind of on vacation next week.
Good.
For Christmas, kind of. But I will be working on CES stuff, so I'll see you guys at CES. You can follow me at greenbot.com, PCWorld.com, on Twitter. And I just want to end this year by saying thank you guys for the opportunity to be here and talk about Android with you guys every Tuesday.
It's awesome, having you on the team. It's really
it's awesome being here.
Yeah, it's been great. And I think 2016 is going to be even better, not only because Flo is going to be here, not only because Ron's going to be here, but because Brian, I think, is going to be our technical director. Is that true?
Unless something happens that I don't know about, then yeah, I think I'll be the technical director. And yeah, as far as 2015 goes, it's been a great time working with you guys. Really glad that Flo came on the show this year. And always fun having Aaron on the show. And speaking of Aaron, sometimes we do stuff. We haven't in a while, but it would be fun to do Know-How stuff again at some point.
Yeah, because Know-How's kind of expanding in the new year. Is that right?
Expanding in the sense that we are doing single themed episodes. So we'll be focusing on one topic for every episode. So we'll be doing an episode on Mondays starting next year and an episode on Thursdays starting next year. So something to look forward to. Shorter episodes, but maintaining the focus on one thing. So hopefully that'll help with people wanting to do certain things. So check that out.
Easier to follow along, like if it's a multi-step project or something, it'd be... I think that's a really good, great idea. I think it'll be great.
Yeah, we hope so. We're hoping on focusing on the easy things to do, like software on Mondays, and then long-term projects on Thursdays, like building a quadcopter, a media center or something like that.
Or a Raspberry Pi-powered arcade. Something.
Yes.
Yeah.
When are you going to bring that back, Aaron?
Just saying. Just a random...
It's an idea.
Out there. Cool. So that's twit.tv/KH.
Perfect. Yeah. And what are you working on, Jason?
Well,
yeah, Jason, what are you doing next year?
little something called Tech News Today on top of this show, as well as Android App Arena. So I'm going to be co-hosting daily Tech News here on Twit with Tech News Today along with Megan Maroney. That starts January 4th. 4 p.m. Pacific is the live time for that. So if you want to tune in and see how it goes, we have a lot of planning to do from now to then, but I think we can do something fun, and that's what we're working towards. So really looking forward to that. And then, of course, my duties here on All About Android are not changing. So basically I'll be doing TNT, All About Android, and Android App Arena full-time hosting. Kind of crazy. But really looking forward to that. It's just been an incredible year. Ron, we missed you today, but that's okay. We'll get you back. Have a happy holiday. I know you're listening to this because you always do. And there you go. I think that's it for this week and for this year. Programming note, next week's episode will be a best of episode, probably a couple of hours. Actually, there's a lot of content there.
A lot of content.
Yeah. We'll see how you're feeling by the end of
the process. You know what, Jason? I'd rather have too much content than not enough content.
True, okay.
Yeah, right. That just speaks to how good the show was this year.
That's right. Like to hear
that's
that.
That's the way to look at it.
All right, excellent. Well, I can't wait to watch it. But that is it for now. Leave us a voicemail, as always, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. Send us a link to a video in that email, and we'll play it on the show. AAA@twit.tv. Twitter, we are at Android Show. We are on Google Plus. Just search for All About Android there. Excellent community. On Reddit, we are twitaa.reddit.com. We have show notes and past episodes, full show notes at twit.tv/AAA. And you can catch us live Tuesdays, 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week and this year. We'll see you next year on another episode of All About Android.
Happy holidays!
Yep, happy holidays!
Yeah!